You are listening to AfterSight. This recording is intended solely for individuals who are blind or have low vision.
Thank you for joining us for Hobby Radio, read by Keith, amateur radio operator W0NX, featuring the September 2025 The Spectrum Monitor. We'll begin by continuing European Radio Scene by George Viesola, Omni RF OTG Antenna, and other radio curiosities. Heat shrink markers, spaced at every 15 or 25 feet on the wire, show you where to place in space. What you can achieve by using this antenna, according to the manufacturer, is a lower but much cleaner level of signal reception. The idea is that the noise floor is reduced to a maximum of S1, and the signal-to-noise ratio, SNR, is improved, especially in a noisy environment. When used in conjunction with a preamplifier, the idea is that this antenna helps you to bring forward more wanted signal and less noise. An initial test by Martin Lynch & Sons Limited appeared to confirm this. Here, Omni RF was compared directly to the very popular Midol JPC-12 portable shortwave antenna kit. So, how did this new OTG antenna fare in my shack and garden? I'd say extremely well. I connected it to both an SDR receiver, my new SDR Play NRSPST, and my trusted old AOR AR7030 HF radio, and I was very pleased with the DXing results I achieved. I am mainly interested in broadcast DX. Here, noise levels on the main bands during the daytime were considerably lower, while the signals I wanted came through more strongly. Therefore, this antenna does what it says on the tin, as it were, and does it well. It brought me many new signals from Eastern Europe and South America, and I had no problems digging out some special SSB signals, such as radio amateurs, utility data stations like weather data, and time signal stations. This antenna will make a very useful addition to your shack indeed, if like me, your principal interest is in broadcast DXing on medium and shortwave. The Omni RF transformer unit, with BNC or SO239 connector, retails at £75 at Martin Lynch & Sons Limited. You can add your own element or buy the loop wire kits with the 60 or 100 feet wire for a 15 or 25 foot per side loop for another £34. My thanks go to Tony at MLNS for the kind loan of the review units and for answering my questions. Resources and videos on the Omni RF on the ground antenna at KK5JY, kk5jy.net/LOG. MLNS test, 25 July 2025, youtube.com/watch?VCXBGW-AFTPK. Recent European radio events. An exhibition called Echoes of Daventry Calling, 100 Years On, is running from July 5th to November 28th, 2025, at the Daventry Museum in Northamptonshire, UK. The show honors 100 years since the BBC began transmissions from Burrow Hill, the location of the world's first long-wave LW transmitting station. It originally broadcast the BBC Empire Service, now BBC World Service. For more on British radio museums and vintage radio matters, you could check out the British DX Club, BDXC, and its dedicated radio museums webpage at bdxc.org.uk, /museums.html. The BBC Third Programme, now Radio 3, the BBC's classical music station, went out from here on 647 kHz medium wave, and the site also played a covert role in signals intelligence. Some of the old radios, vintage technology, and some photographic displays are all part of this fascinating exhibit. Source: Teleradio News, number 281, News Desk, page 3. Meanwhile, another interesting exhibition, Listen In, How Radio Changed the Home, is also still running at the Bodleian Libraries in Oxford at the time of writing. Website, bbc.co.uk/news/articles/C(8D)6. Numerals 01, E, numeral 4, J-O. And now for some dark matter. In the German-speaking parts of Europe and beyond, radio amateurs are now busy celebrating the 75th anniversary of the DARC, Deutscher Amateur Radio Club, with a special website and quite a few events in Germany. I'll try and join them at a party with a radio rally, lectures, a flea market, and a host of other festive events in the town of Bonnetel later this month. On September 10, 1950, a mere 5 years after the end of World War II, 1939 to 1945, radio amateurs in post-war Germany formed this association. Today, they are calling it 3/4 of a century of passion for amateur radio. Leidenschaft für Funk. I could not agree more. Happy birthday, DARC. Website, dar.de/der-club/referate, that's referate, /Ausland, that's Ausland, /English-version. The latest radio news from Europe. Many of you will remember the name Atlantic 252, which has been applied to a number of radio stations over the years. I used to love listening to the original from Ireland. Now, it has been reported that a similar-sounding station, Arctic 252, from Inari, Finland, has inaugurated on-the-air tests in August 2025. The station was gifted a Nautel ND2000 transmitter, complete with ATU and antenna. Initial test transmissions will run at 500 watts. Once testing and fine-tuning of the antenna system are complete, transmission power will be increased to 1 kilowatt for a much broader reach, going beyond Finland. As previously reported here, the eligible voting population of Liechtenstein has voted to abolish public radio broadcasting in the duchy. Following this, the club magazine Radio Courier noted, 7/2025, that the former Radio Liechtenstein has begun to sell off station furniture, broadcasting equipment, and other items. Exciting new products and releases. I have been trying to source a European VLF-LF antenna for the dedicated reception of a global SFTS, standard frequency and time signal, stations that remain. The dual and quad band models for DCF-77, 77.5 kHz, and MSF, 60 kHz, in particular, would come in very handy in my shack. SFQ antenna in Italy once made them in high quality. Is anyone in the U.S. building anything similar? Please get in touch. Talking about antennas, there is a new antenna noise blanker on the block. designed by Kostas Gian at Elysis in Greece. Kostas claims that his new NR1 device removes HF impulse noise directly at the antenna, that there is no need for a separate noise antenna in coaxial, that it removes noise from any direction simultaneously, that it does not cause distortion in the presence of strong signals, and that it cleans out the waterfall too from noise on your SDR. The manual, version 8, is available from the website below. Source: Kostas Gian's post in the ICQ Amateur Ham Radio Podcast Facebook group of 29 June. In terms of new and improved software-defined receivers, SDR, a new receiver by Hydra has been very favorably reviewed by the people behind the RTL SDR blog. Website: rtl-sdr.com/rtl-sdr-blog-review-of-the-hydra-sdr. One wonders whether this Hydra is named after the seven-headed monster in Greek mythology. Each time someone lopped off one of her heads, another two spontaneously regrew in its place. Here in Europe, the flooding of the market by the makers of very small radios based on certain types of electronic chips continues unabated, notably those sporting the NXP-TEF-6686 and SI-4732 chips. There are plenty to choose from, and some of them even have their own Facebook fan groups. In a recent article, Radio World picked up on the activities of the young makers behind this open-source radio trend. Website: tinyurl.com/MRD39WH6. The DeepLEC NXP-TEF-6686 DP-666 receiver has attracted more attention than others. DeepLEC is well known on account of its SDR receiver 101 and antenna analyzers. Moreover, the ATS series of receivers is still in widespread use as well, mostly as secondary or single-frequency monitoring devices. The NXP-ATS-125FM with RDS, radio data system, seems to be the most recent iteration of these. There appears to be a new model each month. Beware the clones. I continue to have my doubts about those radios' performance and susceptibility to noise and interference. What do you think? CCC or serious contenders? Should we have a separate column in the magazine about those? Informative newsletters. HS Publications is the brainchild of Keith Hamer and Gary Smith, long-standing radio authors, DXTV authorities, and broadcasting history chroniclers. In 2025, the company celebrates its 50th anniversary with, among other things, a special issue, an article on 50 years of HS Publications, graphics supplied for the MTV European Music Awards, technical assistance for the Sky Test Card, and much more. Their newsletter, Teleradio News Magazine, covers much more than sporadic E in European TVDX. It also looks at the general UK and European radio media. It is available as an online subscription, eMag, sent by email worldwide at £10, 6 issues, £19, 12. The current edition, at the time of writing, was number 281. If you do subscribe to Teleradio News, make sure you do so using PayPal friends and family, so that this small business receives the full amount. Keith and Gary also used to sell mast pivots and brackets, antennas, phasing units, and general radio accessories. Highly recommended. Resources for radio amateurs and SWLs. Alan Rose, 825 season, Guide to Music on Shortwave, GTMOSW version 3.0, is now freely available at the following URL. This version covers the period from March 30th to October 25th, 2025. This substantial 40-page document is a must for all who, like me, listen to musical entertainment programs on shortwave and are more bothered about quality content rather than hi-fi sound. GTMOSW, tinyurl.com /2KZ6NDEY. Archive, tinyurl.com/MUD7SK3V. Shiver me timbers, there is a real treasure chest of waterfall diagrams and other information relating to the 43-meter European pirate band, 6,800 to 7,000 kilohertz, on the blog by the makers of Black Cat Systems software. Access the daily waterfalls and you will soon be able to roughly gauge prevailing propagation conditions. See Bert Bridges' post on the HF Underground Facebook group. I use some of the software offered by Black Cat Systems for the decoding of HF WeatherFax images. Meanwhile, the Moonraker Pioneers of Radio online article series is growing into a serious, organized, and well-researched resource collection. You can check it out here, tinyurl.com/3BUNZNUT. Moreover, if you are a home brewer and can read some basic German, the CQDL special on Tech for the Shack is now out. It offers editor's picks of many interesting home construction articles on a wide range of topics, such as transmitting, power supplies, accessories for the shack, antennas, and much more. The 100-page booklet is published by the DARC, the German Radio Amateur Club. There were not just one, but two captivating entries from the RTL-SDR blog recently that caught my eye. The first one pointed to an educational program, the SETI Arise Project, in one of my favorite areas of radio, radio astronomy. I am a keen observer of the hydrogen line and also follow solar emissions across the very low frequency, VLF spectrum, 30 Hz to 30 kHz, and elsewhere. The second article from the Tech Minds YouTube channel covers the related matter of satellite, Inmarsat, Iridium, GOES, and hydrogen line observations using the crowd-funded Kraken RF 70-centimeter aluminum discovery dish antenna. This lightweight portable dish is available with feeds for L-band 1.53 to 1.61, 1.645 to 1.715 GHz, S-band 2.2 to 2.3 GHz, Inmarsat 1.525 to 1.660 GHz, and hydrogen line, the radio signals emitted by neutral hydrogen atoms, 21 centimeters, 1.4204 gigahertz. You may be interested, for instance, in ACARS or maritime safety net signals, satellite telemetry, weather images, or general radio astronomy. If you are, this is a flexible dish with accessories to get you started. The TechMinds reviewer used, among others, the AirSpy SDR Sharp, SatDump, Stellarium, IFAVG, GOES Tools, SkyTel, and Jero software programs and plugins. I found both articles very inspiring, and I shall definitely experiment and learn more in this field. Radio Astronomy Study, SETI, ARISE, AGISETI.com, RTLSDR blog, tinyurl.com/(2T)(3)AU6PC. Last but by no means least, there was a very thought-provoking letter from Ira Wilner, published in Radio World, and equally applicable on both sides of the Atlantic. What are we actually losing, Ira is asking, in the age of software-defined receivers, SDRs? Has the flood of computerized radio listening actually damaged the traditional hobby of DXing irrevocably? What do you think? I'll leave you with this pertinent question for this month. See you again soon. And finally, Bits and Bytes by Gail Van Horn, W4GVH. W4GVHLA@gmail.com. Cuba hanging on. Brazil shortwave shrinks while AM shifts to FM. Listeners are reporting a resurgence of signals from Cuba. Radio Progreso from Bejucal, silent on 4,765 kHz for nearly a year, is active in Spanish from 0130 to 0400 UTC. The WRTH 2025 edition lists the schedule as 0130 to 0500. Radio Ray Belde, Rebel Radio from Bauta, once a stalwart on 5,025 kHz, was established in 1958 by Che Guevara during the Cuban Revolution. Weak signals have been observed from 0100 to 0500, but not always nightly. Radio Habana Cuba continues its unpredictable and unreliable operating status. In recent years, Cuban stations have endured rolling power blackouts, two episodes of hurricane recovery, failing equipment, and reduced transmitter power. Spanish has been active on 13,780 from 1335 to 1500 and 2340 to 0230. Radio Havana, Cuba, updated schedule to November 2025. Arabic, Creole, Esperanto, and French transmissions have been dropped. English to North America, 6,000, 0,000 to 0,600. Portuguese to Europe, South America, 15,230, 2,200 to 2,300. Spanish to North Central America, 6,000, 2,300 to 0,500, 15,230, 1,200 to 1,500, 2,300 to 0,500. Spanish logs, 13,780, signing on at 1,100, and 2,300 to 0,000 sign-off. Mesa Redonda program to Washington, Chicago, 6,000, Monday to Friday, 2,200 to 2,300. For now, Radio Havana remains barely audible and unpredictable on shortwave, through a patchwork of fading transmitters and reduced schedules. Languages do not always follow scheduled listings. Thank you for joining us for Hobby Radio, read by Keith.
If you enjoyed this program, please register for our free services at www.aftersight.org or by calling 303-786-7777.